Good morning. We're doing the laws of Shabbos. We had begun discussing the laws of Muktzeh. We said that in the area of Muktzeh, we have a few different types of Muktzeh. We began with the classical type of Muktzeh, which was when you take figs and you put them up to dry, so then those figs are literally Muktzeh. That's the word Muktzeh, figs that have been set out in the sun to dry. And that you cannot eat on Shabbos because you put it on the rooftop. It wasn't edible when Ben Hashmashos twilight came in. And we spoke about the concept, Migodit Katzai Ben Hashmashot. Because something was Muktzeh, was out of use during twilight, it Katzai Lechuliyoma. We discussed that it has to be Muktzeh all of Ben Hashmashot. That if something becomes Muktzeh for part of Ben Hashmashot, that doesn't make it Muktzeh. We discussed that within Muktzeh, we have more severe forms of Muktzeh and lighter forms of Muktzeh. We said a lighter form of Muktzeh would be Kli Shemlachto Leisu. That when you have a vessel whose usage is prohibited on Shabbos, such as a hammer, so then even though that's what we would think is classical Muktzeh, nonetheless it has certain leniencies because Letzorech Gufo, to use it specifically, such as a hammer to crack open your coconut, thank you. You have a coconut. You want to crack open a coconut on Shabbos. You're allowed to take a hammer to crack open a coconut on Shabbos. Most people don't have coconut crackers at home. People open them,
Would you have to set it aside?
No. The idea is, you have a guest that shows up for the meal and they bring you a coconut. Now what do you do? You have a bag that you're unsuccessful in opening on Shabbos, so you want to take scissors to cut it open. You're allowed to take the scissors on Shabbos to cut it open. so we do have the concept with regard to kli shemlachto leisu, a vessel that is used ordinarily for prohibited activities. So there, the halacha says litzorech gufo, for using the vessel itself, or litzorech mekomo, you need its space. So you want to lie down on your bed and you see there's a pen there. Why is a pen muktzeh? It's a kli shemlachto leisur. It's a vessel that's used for prohibited activity on Shabbos, for activity which is not permissible on Shabbos. So I'm allowed to move that pen in order to sit down. We said then we come to a muktzeh that is more severe, and that is Muktzeh mechamat chesron kis. Something that has value and you're careful not to move it and you're careful not to use it for other things. So that is muktzeh mechamat chesron kis, and there you would not be allowed to move it even if you wanted to use it. If you had a special knife that's used specifically for shechita, for slaughtering animals, on Shabbos you don't do that. You paid 1,000 shekel for that knife. You don't use that knife to cut your bread. You're very careful to keep that knife for its use. You wouldn't be able to take it out on Shabbos if suddenly you needed a knife to cut bread. Because muktzeh mechamat chesron kis, when something is muktzeh because of its value, so then that thing cannot be used letzorech gufo or letzorech mekomo. Even if I need its space, I'm not allowed to move it. The idea of muktzeh mechamat chesron kis is that this item, when I put it down, I have no intention of moving it all of Shabbos. I know that my shechita knife, I don't want touched, I don't want it anywhere else. So then it's as though I've designated its spot and I don't want it moved. Then I wouldn't be allowed to move it even if I needed that spot and even if I needed to use that vessel for something else. What about things which I don't intend to move, but it's not because of their value? You have a heavy bookcase, so you don't intend to move it, but only because it's heavy. That's not muktzeh. That's not muktzeh mechamat chesron kis.
Can you just move the whole bookcase?
Let's say your baby's pacifier went under the bookcase, and now you have to move it. The baby's pacifier fell behind it, and the baby's wailing his head off, and suddenly you want access to it. So then you might move it on Shabbos. You wouldn't say it's a muktzeh, I can't move it, because for sure when Shabbos entered, I wasn't intending to move it. That doesn't make it muktzeh. Klishe muktzeh mechamat chesron kis, when it's because of its value, because of its specific usage, then it can be mukzeh mechamat chesron kis. A person has a store. The items in his store, he wants them to remain looking new so that he could sell them on a weekday. So then he wouldn't let someone just walk off and use those items. Mukzeh mechamat chesron kis. Sometimes you have a store that sells hardware supplies. And the owner will sometimes let someone borrow a wrench or some of the instruments he has there because they don't really get harmed. You could use them a few times, and so long as you're careful, he could still sell them as new. So there, even though it's in his store, being that he would let it leave his store, he's not concerned it should remain with a shine or something, then it's not mukzeh mechamat chesron kis. If you have a store with food, so even though your intention is that that food gets sold, but you know full well that you might bring some home for your kids, and you might bring some home if you see it doesn't sell well. So there we say you always have in the back of your mind you might use it privately, and therefore it's never mukzeh mechamat chesron kis. We now move on to something called mukzeh mechamat gufo. So here, before we go into that, you had a question, yes? No, they're not eaten.
They
become disgusting. They're not edible. They're like half rotten. Until they dry out, they're it's like a half rotten food.
So when you treat them like this in a drawer.
Right. Ah, we'll get to that. So then you're coming to the question of basis. That the drawer is a basis. Is it a basis only the davar asur or also the davar mutar? We're going to get to that. Not today, but we'll get there. The next type of mukzeh is mukzeh mechamat gufo. So you have something which has no use, it's not a food, it's not a vessel, and you don't plan on doing anything with it on Shabbos. So that's called mukzeh mechamat gufo. That could be the rocks. You walk down the street, there are rocks on the side of the street, they're not a vessel, they're not usable, you don't intend to use them, they're not a food item, they are mukzeh. So they are a more serious mukzeh. That even if you would want to use those rocks to hold down your napkins, you're having a kiddush outside, the wind is blowing away all your napkins, you want to put down a rock to hold down your napkins, you're not allowed to do that. Because those rocks are mukzeh mechamat gufo. They are a mukzeh where it's whole embodiment. It's a, what is that mukzeh? It's nothing. I have no use for it. So that could be the twigs in your yard. That could be the branches that fell in your backyard. So you might say, I want to use it. I want to use it as a walking stick. No, that's mukzeh mechamat gufo. If you had, we will discuss later on how, but if you had designated it before Shabbos as your walking stick, so fine, you could use it on Shabbos. But you're walking in the woods and you see a piece of wood that fell. You see shards of metal. Now you want to use them for something. You have money. Money doesn't have any real usage. It's not a vessel and has no usage. So then you're walking on the street and you see some money on the floor. So this happens to my kids every few weeks. They're walking and they see money on the floor. So they always wonder what they can do on Shabbos. Right? You can't pick it up. Can I just move it under a leaf, Amman? No. Can I put a leaf on it? No, you can't do that either. Because the leaf is also mukzeh mechamat gufo. The leaf has no use, right? So theoretically, they could bring something that's not mukzeh and put it on top of it. Theoretically. So all these items are mukzeh mechamat gufo. Whereas something that is a kli shem lachto leisur, if you, for example, have a hammer, and you took the hammer to open up a coconut, you're allowed to take the hammer and put it back in its place. Mm-hmm. You came to sit on your chair, and you notice there's a pen there. You're allowed to lift that pen and hold it till you bring it to a place you want to put down the pen. But when you deal with mukzeh mechamat gufo, even if, let's say, you picked up a twig you weren't thinking, you're not allowed to take it anywhere else. You have to let go the second you realize you're handling it. It's more stringent, mukzeh mechamat gufo. By the way, a good example of a mukzeh mechamat chesron kis would be car keys, would be the remote control for your car, the remote control that turns your car on and off. Right? You don't want to use that for anything. You want to make sure it keeps working. People don't think of those, but those are weighty mukzeh. If you left that somewhere, you couldn't move that just because you wanted that space. You forgot it next to the candles or something else. You're scared the candles will drip on it. If it's not a safety concern, you're just scared that it will get harmed in the sun or by the candles. You can't move that. So, mukzeh mechamat gufo, if something is mukzeh because it itself has no usage, it's not a vessel, it's not a food item. For example, broken glass. So then you're not allowed to move it. We will see that when there's a danger, so there Chazal said, take care of the danger. But our general approach is that this is, again, a more stringent form of mukzeh that we're not supposed to handle at all, even if I want its space, even if I want to use its physical shape. Yes?
How is this different from someone has a hammer, they don't have to designate it for Shabbat, and, you know, in the case of the coconut. But if someone knows that they're having a picnic on Shabbat, they're having lunch in the backyard, and they know that they have rocks in the backyard, and they know if it's a windy day, they're going to use one of the rocks. It's not a vessel that they own in the sense of a hammer, but it is in their defined property.
Right. But so long, the difference between a hammer and a rock is that a hammer is a vessel. The mere fact that it's a vessel means it's designated for your use. A rock is not a vessel. If you want to designate the rock, we will get to it, what you should do before Shabbat to designate it. But and then it's not muktzah.
And then it's a vessel and it can receive tumah?
It can't receive tumah because in that sense it's not a vessel. But it's you designated it, so it's not muktzah. Tumas do'aita, muktzah is drabanan. In order for it not to be muktzah, we're going to see what you can do to make a rock not muktzah.
Does it run into the problem of what it appears like?
People always designated rocks.
Yeah, it sounds logical. Looking.
I'm saying they used to.
Many people in communities that have these, what they call it, these communal spaces sometimes foolishly see people go there and different things and make picnics.
I wanted in our shul, we had this. We have one or two times a year, we have a kiddush outdoors, and you need the rocks. So I wanted to make a project with the kids to spray paint them. That way everyone knows these are designated rocks. No one will think it's a... Okay, we're still going to discuss what happens when you find money in your pocket on Shabbos. We're going to get there. So one of the areas this comes up is when you want a doorstop. You want to hold your door open, so it's tempting to take a piece of wood or a rock. You have to designate it before Shabbos, as we will see. Another example of this is if you have food that no one would eat. If you have food, like Benny asked earlier, that's not edible, even b'shat adchak, it's completely not edible. So there, again, it becomes mukzeh mechamat gufo. Where this comes up is with our freezers. You want to move things around the freezer. This is where it becomes challenging. How do we view frozen meat in a freezer? That's a big discussion in halacha, because in the days of Talmud, there were plenty of people that ate raw meat. And that's why the Talmud assumes that raw meat is not mukzeh. Today, you wouldn't take such a person as your son-in-law. You'd think there was something wrong with them if they ate raw meat. Right?
Let's go to a fancy restaurant. Marinated pasta or sushi.
Put a nice price tag on it.
But yeah.
If you say so, I haven't been to those restaurants. So if you're telling me there are today people who eat raw meat...
If someone would have told your father or my father,
you're like, you're doing it a certain way.
We had a guy here who was a meat chef, and he said,
It's on any menu in a fancy restaurant, even the kosher ones. They call it carpaccio. It's like sushi, except it's meat, but they marinate it and stuff. But, you know, I don't have the thing for it. But, you know, smoked is almost also...
Smoked is different.
It's a little different, right, but these are fine degradations. You know, what makes a nostril gross and a thigh, you know, good, you know, what we're used to. I was forgetting about it was a kosher. If we didn't have those laws, you know, what makes a chicken different than what we would say is disgusting, you know, in our culture. Some cultures they eat cats and dogs, of course. Matter of fact, cultures, most cultures in the world, people are hungry, it moves their hands.
Yeah, now this is interesting, because that would affect our halacha. If you're telling me that most restaurants serve raw meat just with marinated...
You won't like going to an industry of paying a couple hundred shekels per person or more.
That's fine.
Yeah.
Still considered edible.
Right, and it's like, you go to what's so fancy places. I personally, it's not enough for me, so I don't know that much about it. But you see it on menus, and it's, carpaccio, the word is it's a meat that's not good. It was always, even years ago, something called steak tartare.
Ground
up, they throw a raw egg in there. So,
but that's not cooked at all? Just raw? Okay. So then, we have to check that out, but that would certainly throw the weight behind those halachic opinions that say till today that raw meat is not muktzeh. Yeah, but that's not a big deal. You put it out in the sun in 10 minutes, 20 minutes, whatever. It's not, that's not, even if the innards don't thaw out, but you can slice off the outer pieces. So that would definitely give more weight to those opinions that say. I have no clue. Okay, there are opinions that say till today raw meat is not mukta. What? Okay. So that's one of the opinions. Yeah. So this really comes up when we deal in our freezer. We have all kinds of raw stuff in our freezer that's not edible. So there, it becomes challenging. Once you're aware of the halacha, you have to rearrange your freezer in a way before Shabbos that you don't have to move stuff around in order to get to other stuff. Because if you're going to have, let's take our case of raw meat. If you're going with the opinions that raw meat is muktzeh and it's in the front of your freezer, how are you going to access the things behind it? We said that Sorech Mekomo does not permit us with muktzeh mechamat gufo. That when something is muktzeh and it has no usage on Shabbos and it's not a tool and it's just some a rock or a block of meat that's not edible, so then I can't move it. So then I run into a problem. So this is this is where this really comes up. I think the main place it comes up is when you go on picnics, not touching the sticks, not touching the rocks, not handling them, and in our freezers. This comes up also with regards to bones or pistachio peels. So if it's not edible, if you don't have a dog that's eating your bones, you run into a problem of these things being mukteh, and their mukteh is mukteh mechamat gufo.
Would the meat also count as saying a dog could eat frozen meat?
So it depends if you have dogs. And if you have a dog, then you could argue that that's... The real question comes up when you paid 80 shekel a kilo for that, and for your dog you pay 5 shekel a kilo, is that really dog food? Saying you're not going to give it to the dog. Here we come to another halacha, which has changed today, and that is with regards to animals. In ancient times, it was assumed, ancient times means until the last 60, 70 years, that animals are mukteh mechamat gufo, that an animal is not edible, an animal is not a vessel, an animal is not usable on Shabbos. So the animal is a harsh mukta. You shouldn't pet an animal. You shouldn't touch an animal. For sure, you shouldn't lift an animal. And then people started taking animals, as Rav Moshe Feinstein writes in the Tshuva, as pei ayin tes samach, what they call in English pets. So it changed the halachic status of these creatures, because suddenly it's not a dog, it's your pet. It's not a cat, it's your pet, and then it's not muktzeh.
You don't have cats in ancient times?
No.
And why would they lakel it to sleep with a toy?
He wasn't the pet. He was guarding. He had a usage. He wasn't there to hug and cuddle with. Okay, this is a new thing that people have animals that they hold in their hands. Once upon a time, it was like, take the bone, get out of here. It was for usage. It wasn't for the fun of it. When we read about David HaMelech that had dogs, he used them for something. It wasn't because he liked having pets. It wasn't like the Prince of England, you know, he has his whole Dalmatian collection. That wasn't David HaMelech. Dogs, once upon a time, were for a usage. It could be they guarded the palace, but whatever it wasn't a pet you were handling, talking to, giving a name. That wasn't the game. So that's why in halacha, the halacha discusses wildlife or the animals around your house as being mukta. And today, our assumption is that most of the animals you're going to have around the house are your pets. And so those that are your pets are not mukta. You are allowed to handle them. What?
You can pick them up.
Yeah. They're not mukta. They're not a klishim lachtoliza. That's the person's pet. They handle it all week long. They carry it. They pet it. And if it's not mukta to the owner, it's not mukta to other people either. So this is a big leniency that Rav Moshe wrote, and then other people also agreed to this leniency, but that's the logic behind it. We will pick up Ezrat Hashem next week with a discussion of Shivrei Kelim. What happens when on Shabbos something breaks, a bottle of grape juice falls and smashes. So now it's no longer a vessel, it's no longer usable. So on the one hand, it's Mukhtem Mechamat Gufo. On the other hand, you have to make sure no one gets hurt on the shards. So we have leniencies for the shards, but the vessel itself is really Mukhtem Mechamat Gufo. So today, we concluded our discussion of Mukhtem Mechamat Cheson Kis. We discussed the idea that you're not allowed to move it, the Tzorech Gufo Mikumo. You can't move it even though you need that space, and even if you want to use it for a permissible usage on Shabbos. We discussed the idea of your products in your store, depending on whether you would lend them out, whether you would remove them from the store or not, would define whether they are Mukhtzeh Mechamat Cheson Kis. Then we went over to Mukhtzeh Mechamat Gufo and discussed the idea of a rock or a stick being Mukhtzeh Mechamat Gufo, that it has no real usage, and then you're not allowed to handle it on Shabbos at all, even to use its space, and even if you wanted to use it as a walking stick or something. And we said that if food is inedible, so that could also become Mukhtzeh Mechamat Gufo.